Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, and welcome to our gathering this morning. Missing Brother David with his sickness. Hope he gets better really quickly. And anyone else who might be ailing too. Did you have any prayer requests this morning? Before we pray. Edgar's family and the loss of their little baby girl, a week old, passed away. Ask that the Lord would fill them with consolation.
All the friends and family traveling here for the day.
Yes, pray for them. That's really good to remember. The travels of family and friends coming to the wedding. Very important. Yes. The Lord would have mercy on their travels. Yes. Do we have a name yet? I heard this, what he was leaning toward. But ask the Lord to bless Andrew and Alexis, their firstborn. All right, well, let's stand and pray. And I would like to ask Brother Olin, would you lead us in prayer?
God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies, your goodness to us. Pray for the requests that were mentioned for Andrew and Alexis and the baby. Pray for those that travel here, that you grant them safety. For Brother Edgar and his family as well, that you comfort them and guide them in this time of sadness. Help them to trust you. And we just pray your blessing on each one of us this day. Help us to please you, to follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. You can stand. Should we begin with a new one? Not so new. I've chosen it sometimes. The very back of your book, 104. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. It's commonly known as My Savior's Love, because that's how it ends up. I didn't notice that. That amen we're not going to sing. Didn't notice it was there. I'd save those amens for the songs that are more prayer or more conducive for an amen at the end. Sometimes we've sung this during our communion service, Sunday night. And this one, I like to move fairly good on it, so get ready. One thing I might mention, lately we've been having a little discord in some of our alto and perhaps a little in the tenor as well. If you're struggling a little, or somebody suggests to you that you might be struggling a little bit with your alto, maybe it would be good to switch to soprano, especially on the songs that are that maybe you struggle with a little more. Always do that. If you have a little trouble, you want to sing loud, and you should. You have a little trouble with your part, go back to soprano and get refreshed. Nothing wrong with that. So let's do I Stand Amazed in the Presence. At the very back. Do you have 104 at the very back? All right. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How wonderful, and my soul
and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
When with the ransom
glory his face I last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Did you notice the progression, how much better it got to the last verse? You're just learning right in the middle of the song. That's good. I just thought of this while we were singing. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. You know, if I just don't really like to sing here below, don't really care for it, it's not so great. What am I going to do up there? Or if I just would rather mainly turn on the country music and let that cheer me up through the day, or console me, or give me a pacifier. There's no radios up there. There's no CDs. And if you're slightly off tune here, you'll be on up there. I believe it. There will be no discord in heaven. So be consoled. If you like to sing, keep on. And if you don't like to sing, sing. You'll like to after a while. You want to sit down a little bit? Okay, let's look at this particular hymn, one of these last ones. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Just one page back from the one we just sang. Written by Frederick Faber. Do any of you know anything about Frederick Faber? Do you know of another hymn that he wrote? We sing it once in a while. Maybe a very once in a while. It's a Faith of Our Fathers. Did you ever hear Faith of Our Fathers Living Still? In spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy. Anyway, I think I took one of the next verses there a little bit. No, I think that's right. Whene'er we hear that glorious word. But Frederick Faber, who lived during the 1800s, you can see here 1814 to 1863. I like the name of this tune here, Wellesley. We're going to sing Wellesley this morning. But Frederick Faber, he converted to Roman Catholicism partway through his life. And as I grew up, I heard people expressing sadness that a song we loved so much, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still in Spite of Dungeon, Fire, and Sword, thinking of those who had died for their faith. And it's such a precious hymn. They expressed sadness that this man would convert to Roman Catholicism. But I just would say, look where he left. He left the Anglican Church, which is the Church of England. And it's not that we can say one is a whole lot better than the other. In fact, I would think I would choose Roman Catholicism. I would choose Catholicism if I had to choose between the two. We've appreciated things that the Catholics have said, and the Catholics believe and have stood for, and we would like verse 5 to have a more simple love for the Lord. You know what denominations have done? They haven't helped the Church of God at all, really. So many denominations and so forth. And that's one thing the Catholics like to say. What are you leaving for? The Catholic Church, of course, there's a lot of sad things that have happened through the ages. But the important thing is that we each choose to be a part of the people of God, those who love to serve Him, those who are real. He's getting us a little more heat, I hope. Yeah, my hands are cold, especially with beaten time. So Frederick Faber converted, and there was a movement in those days, in the mid-1800s, that was called the Oxford Movement. And Brother Kevin, did you have a few words to share about the Oxford Movement? A little bit of what the thought was, or their desire was in the Oxford Movement. It began in the Anglican Church, am I right? The Church of England?
It was in Oxford University in England. It had to do with becoming more traditional in answer to the... I think it had to do with the answer. It was kind of a retro to combat the spiritualism of Methodists and others who had come out of the Church of England and was promoting more deep spiritual experience. And so their approach was, we're going to find God through liturgy and traditionalism, being, you know, lofty experience that way. And so there was a resurgence, I would say, of that in the Church of England.
But of liturgy, which is like lots of repeating verses, poems during the service, like prayers.
Yes. And some of them went so far as to go back to, or join the Catholic Church.
Like Frederick Faber did, join the Catholic Church. The important thing, the thing I'm blessed by, is that he was not satisfied where he was. He saw the deep needs, the things that were not right. He saw the things that the Methodists and others were leaving because of. But he wasn't just sure that their path was exactly the path he ought to take. And others that were a part of the Oxford Movement. And so he went back to Catholicism. And he was very concerned. Now, the Catholics have all these, they have their own psalms and hymns, and maybe a lot of them were a little slow or a little more. But he was concerned with time that the Catholics, that they get to sing the blessed hymns that were becoming available in those days in England as well. He wanted them to have the same singing heritage that the evangelicals were starting to have. And his thinking, there's a wideness in God's mercy. It's not just one way, and God is good. His heart cry comes out in this hymn here. And verse 4, look at the fourth stanza here. But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own. Does that sound like something Brother David said already? To me, it does. We can get so zealous about anything that we teach or do or live that we can look for a strictness that the Lord doesn't own. So our desire is to draw near to the Lord and learn more of Him in our daily walk, and to love our brother as well. Let's stand and sing. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Now we're going to try to sing it slow enough. Should we do the... Sure, let's do the notes here, all in soprano first. Oh, so do re do so so re re do la so fa mi re fa so so la so so mi do so la so so do 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 mi do la so. Is most wonderfully kind.
I like the the last verse, the second part, and our lives would be all sunshine and the sweetness of our Lord. If our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word. Our lives would be sunshine. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because we go through life and we want to do everything, we want everything to go our way, you know. But if we just live life and just live it for him, our lives would be sunshine. Let's take him.
How true.
Yeah.
Certainly does. And it reminds me of what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But this is a different, this is another measure of that, another angle, another very important angle to take note of, that our lives are certainly more complicated when we don't take him at his word and just have a more simple love. Okay, it seems like we shouldn't keep on working so hard at new ones. Let's back up a little bit here in our book. Should we do The Sands of Time Are Sinking again? Is that old enough to sing comfortably? Well known enough to sing comfortably? 93. I'm sorry. Pulling the number out. Remember your flats up there, tenor. There's two runs there toward the end. And remember, it's not that you have to look for a comma to get your breath. And if you have to get your breath right there between dwelleth and in Emmanuel's land, that's fine. But when you get it, get a quick one, okay? So you can keep singing. I like to, I often like to where you have those, where you have a phrase bar between a phrase. If you have no rest there and you have no comma or other notation there, the thought is to be continued and you go right on through there. We'll see.
The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the sun born has died for the prince we mourn awaits. Joy.
He brings the morning.
So you don't have to look so hard at the words. But yeah. Let's do that.
Trouble hitting that law on that one too.
Here. So mi, no, do mi, so, do, do. Major diatonic scale. The do, re, mi. Okay, now we're going to all parts. See if we can do this. It's The Lord is my shepherd. That's our timing there. It's like, what are those two notes at the beginning there? Are they quarter, eighth, or sixteenth? One of the first two rows. One of you in the first two rows here. Those two notes, those souls there on the soprano. What are they?
16th.
16th, yes. Double flag. One flag is what?
Eight.
Eight, okay. So two 16ths makes one, what? Two 16th notes together is the value of one?
One eighth.
Yeah. So in other words, 2/8 make 16, but a 16th note is the shortest, and then an 8th note is half that short. So, the Lord is my shepherd. So it's 8th quarter. Oh, see that? Little souls, the Lord is my shepherd, no one shall I know. I feed in green pastures, safe folded at rest. He leadeth my soul where the still waters flow. wanted to sing Franz Josef Haydn's hymn, but we don't have time. It is, the work is thine, O Christ. We'll take a break and listen to what the Lord has for us from here. You may go back, girls.
Last week we're going to tell a verse that we like, that encourages us. And I like that Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I like that because it shows just how we don't have to just be, just thinking how we got to get out of any trouble that we have. We just should be pure in our heart.
Proverbs 14:23, and all labor there is profit, but mere talking leads only to poverty.
Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. And it helps me to remember that I should be content with what I have and not want more.
I thought about a little part of a song. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. It's always refreshing, like, through a hard time, just to sing that little part. And it just really helps.
When we were going to Mexico one time, I kind of got scared because of the dangers on the way there, kind of. And the verse, be strong and of a good courage, because for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, help me to remember that God is protecting us even though there could be dangerous people around.
I like the verse, for he looked for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Because I think about a world where everybody is founded on God's, on his love, and love each other. And that's just, to imagine that is mind-boggling, because just living in the world as it is, you know, we have sorrow, we have evil, and struggles in ourselves and all around us, and war and suffering and pain and all that. But just to imagine the city where only goodness is, that's just, that thought stands alone, and it's an amazing thought.
I've liked Matthew 24:13. It says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And like, if something's hard or I've messed up, it reminds me to just keep on going. And if we endure to the end, we'll be saved.
I like the verse, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Life and death are in the hand of a tongue, and those who rule over it will eat the fruits thereof.
Thought about, or it's Proverbs 46, 1. The Lord is my strength and every present help in trouble.
I like Matthew 6, verse 8. Brother David read it last Sunday in the sermon. It's talking about the Pharisees. So do not be like them, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. That's really amazing that God cares for us that much, that he knows what we need even before we get around to ask him.
Arthur had about counting blessings. And you're kind of going through a hard time. I just like to tell myself it could always be worse, because every situation could be worse than what it is. So I just like to count my blessings.
1 Corinthians 10:13. Trying to remember the word. No temptation has something you. Yeah. Over. No temptation has overtaken you. But that such as is common to man, but the Lord is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able, and with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to overcome it. And sure, that's it.
I had the same verse as Randall did, but I like to think of that verse, and it makes me think that God doesn't put anything on us that we can't go through, and if it does seem hard to us, he's helping us get through it. We can get through it.